It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web.
Live it off the wall.
Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Off the Wall, the podcast version here on YesNetwork.com. This is our fourth week of doing Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com in its podcast form. And is there any coincidence that it's the fourth week in a row that we are talking? We're leading with our first place New York Yankees. Now, a sizable, as we stand right now, 7 games ahead of the Red Sox. That could change either way in the coming days, and that is because there's a big series with the Red Sox up in Boston, and how sweet would it be? How sweet would it be to have a nice little sweep up there at Fenway this weekend? And it could happen. Pitching matchups, for the most part, favor the Yankees. The game on Friday looks to be Andy Pettitte, Brad Penny. That could be looked at as advantage Yankees. On Saturday, you have the rookie Tozawa going. And then on Sunday, Josh Beckett, CC Sabathia. So who knows? And Josh Beckett's last start against the Blue Jays, he was pounded. 7 runs, 9 hits. He had that coming to him. He was doing way too well recently. But how sweet would that be? The Red Sox would have taken the first 8. The Yankees, if they do indeed get the sweep at Fenway, which is hard to do because the Red Sox know how to play in that ballpark. They know how to use that monster. And let's face it, when they're there, the Red Sox score a ton of runs. The Yankees could be up 11-0 in the game. The Red Sox can go up and win 13-11. That's just the way it is. So a sweep up at Fenway, but it has been done in the past. 5 games, a couple years back, Boston Massacre. We all remember that. It could happen. And it would be sweet because Boston, as I said, took the first 8. The Yankees, if they do end up sweeping them up there, would have taken the next 7. And all that talk about the domination and, oh my God, 8 in a row goes out the window, boys and girls, men and women, children of all ages. The Yankees are clicking on all cylinders right now. They lost 1 to Seattle, but they still won the series. As it stands right now, the Oakland series could go either way with the Yankees or A's taking a game and taking the series. But even if the Yankees would lose the series to the A's, you still have to love the way this team is playing. Not like, love. In baseball, you know as well as anybody, pitching and hitting have to be one. It's kind of like being married. The husband and wife both have to be working together at the marriage for it to work. And right now, the Yankees' marriage is a match made in heaven. Right now. Now listen, this could change in a week. But with the talent on this team, I think it just took the Yankees a little bit. You know, they gel in the clubhouse. It only took them a little bit to gel out on the field and get their bearings straight on the field. And now, the pitching and the hitting, let's put it this way. If the Yankees were on a honeymoon, be a very productive honeymoon. Hello. The honeymoon is very fruitful. And the marriage right now is a success. Right now, mid-August, as we sit here and tape, it's awesome to be a Yankee fan. Awesome. One more thing that we'll talk about. It's in the Off the Wall blog. Who would be on your Yankee Mount Rushmore? Now, the obvious 4 would be Joe D, Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig. But I'm curious as to see what my buddy Joe Auriemma, who we'll meet in just a second, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, producer and co-host of Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com, We'll see what Joey has to think about that. And you could also go to the blog on yesnetwork.com and tell me who you would think would be on your Yankee Mount Rushmore. It was an interesting conversation we had in the studio before Yankees batting practice today one night, and I figured I'd just throw it out there. I know Rick Riley did it on ESPN with different cities and the different cities with the different athletes, but this is just Yankee-centric. Who would you have up there? Moving on. Other things we're going to talk about. Brett Favre. I'm retired. I'm unretired. I'm retired. I'm unretired. I'm here. I'm there. I'm a Jet. I'm a Viking. I want to stay home with the wife and kids. Now I want to play football again. I know a lot of people are fed up with Brett Favre. I'll have an interesting take on that, and we'll see how Joe feels on that as well. We'll also talk more about football. Michael Vick, another quarterback. Michael Vick, should he have gotten a second chance? We'll get into that as well. I'm not going to tell you how I feel on it yet. It's your job to stick around to the Off the Wall podcast and see how both Joe and I feel on Favre, feel on Vick, and feel how the Yankees are right now. Are you still a Yankee fan that's glass half empty and thinks that, you know, the Yankees are still in trouble? If you are, you need to seek professional help. That's all I could say. And if you want my services, I'm cheap, and you can give me a call on my cell phone. We'll discuss. But when we come back, Yankees, football, it's all coming up next on the Off the Wall podcast on yesnetwork.com.
Want to check out some of the best Yankee blogs on the web? Go to yesnetwork.com and check out their lineup of bloggers. First, it's Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones, The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Off the Wall with Chris Sheeran, Cott's Corner with Jim Cott, The Yes Blog, and many, many more. For the best Yankee coverage on the web, it's yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
And welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on yesnetwork.com. I am your host, Chris Sheeran, and now I'm joined along with Joe Auriemma, the godfather of yesnetwork.com, producer and co-host of the Off the Wall podcast here on yesnetwork.com. And Joey, we talked about the Yankees in the open here and just how ridiculously they're playing right now. I mean, I know in my heart of hearts, because you listen to sports talk radio and, you know, the guys on FAN and the
wait, if you listen to FAN, all you hear is about the Mets.
Well, that's during a certain time frame, and we won't get into that. But I mean, the things that you hear still on FAN, on ESPN, people are still on edge about this team. I realize that, it's that New York mentality. You're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. But could you just smile and enjoy what's going on right now?
Here's my thought process on this. Okay, there are 40-plus games to go. The Yankees are already at 75 wins, okay? They have a 7-game lead in the division, which means that if the Yankees, let's just say at this point in the season, if they go 500, they're still going to be in the mid to upper 90s in wins. And that's going 500. This team is not a 500 ball club. They're obviously going to play 5 to 10 games over 500, which means they're going to be even closer to 100, maybe even over 100 wins. The Red Sox can barely, by playing an absolutely perfect schedule, get to 95-plus wins. Barely. So, to me, I'm not going to say officially that this division is over. There are games left between the
There's
two
squads. There's six games left.
There's six
them.
Games left.
Three at Fenway, three at Yankee Stadium.
But the odds of the Yankees, first of all, losing all six are, it's slim and none at this point. The odds of a split, is very good. And at that point, you would have to say, if the Yankees at least go 3-3 versus the Red Sox, this division is over. It's almost over now.
I tend to agree with you. I would never dun the Red Sox, especially with the pitching and how hot they can get. Because let's face it, baseball, you can get hot at any time. At the beginning of this month, I looked at the schedule and I said, August is going to be a very decisive month for the Yankees and for the Red Sox. And so far, the Yankees have been playing, hands down better baseball. The Red Sox, the rest of the month of August, have Toronto. They wrap up with Toronto. Then they have the Yankees at home, the White Sox at home for four, and the Blue Jays at home for three. So they have a pretty long homestand. That's 3-7.
But still, it's
10-game homestand against the Yankees, White Sox.
Right.
who are tough, and the Blue Jays. And then when we hit September, take a look at the Red Sox schedule in September. The Rays, the Sox, they're all on the road.
Baltimore.
Then they have Baltimore and Tampa at home. Baltimore, Tampa, and the Angels at home.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go on the road for Baltimore, Kansas City, and then the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. And they wrap up with Toronto and Cleveland at home.
It's not easy.
It's not an easy
schedule. Cleveland is actually the best thing, the best case scenario for them on this schedule. Ending the season with a four-game set against the woeful Cleveland.
Now let's take a look at the Yankees. They go to Boston for three. Then they come back home. They have the Rangers and White Sox, which is a tough six-game stretch.
Right.
Before hitting the road again, they have Baltimore. They go through Baltimore.
Which is Yankee Stadium South.
Pretty much. And then they go to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably have to face Halliday in one of those games. Then they come back home. Tampa, Baltimore, a makeup against the Angels on Monday, and then two against the Blue Jays. And they go back on the road, another West Coast swing.
This is the West Coast swing that's bad.
The Mariners for three, the Angels for three.
My hope,
and it's about time that the Yankees go out to Anaheim and get something done. And that's going to be a very decisive series, September 21st through the 23rd, the Yankees at the Angels. Then they finish up with the Red Sox at home.
Right.
The Royals at home. And the Rays for three on the road.
Which could be a big series for the Rays. My thinking on this, though, is that if the Yankees can create some space between themselves and the Red Sox, which they already have, but create more space enough where they can have the division by the time they go out to that last West Coast swing, that might be very key for them, because at that point they could be on cruise control.
Well, listen, this series coming up this weekend, you know, I joked about it at the beginning, another sweep would be sweet. But think about it. If the Yankees sweep the Red Sox, they could be anywhere from 10 to 12 games up on Boston, depending on what happens in the next couple of days.
Absolutely.
And if they did that, then they could take a break. You know, it doesn't matter who the fifth starter is. You or I could be the fifth starter on this team.
And that's what I'm saying.
Like, scary to mention it, but it's true.
An example. In the last start, I wouldn't say they're already starting to take a break, but Girardi is being very conscious of the stretch run and, you know, beyond, if there's October baseball. CC Sabathia was at 80 pitches in his last start against Oakland, going into the eighth inning. He brings him out, and he was only at 94 pitches before the eighth inning ends. So they have a 7-2 lead at this point. CC Sabathia, in theory,
could have went. He's a horse.
And gone the distance.
But why?
They had David Robertson ready to go. Give the kid a little work. It was a little bit of a mop-up situation. It could have been a save situation at some point. But at that point, it was a mop-up roll. I see what Girardi did there. Why, at this point, you have a 7-game lead. Why would you need to force the issue?
You don't. Give him a little rest. I thought that was a great idea by Joe. I mean, who wouldn't think that was a great idea by Girardi? I mean, why would you keep your ace out there, who, by the way, is a horse and could throw the innings? But, see, that's the thing that gets to me, too, about this whole Jabba thing.
Right.
Sabathia is only, like, 5 years older, 6 years older than Jabba. So what's the difference between his left arm and Jabba's right arm?
And I always go back to, if we're going to the Jabba situation, we're jumping to that situation, I always go back to the point that Jim Cott has always said, you cannot get better as a starting pitcher.
It's a pretty good source to go back to, too, by the way.
You cannot get better in this league if you don't pitch. Pitching is what makes your arm stronger. Pitching a number of innings is what makes you more mature as a pitcher. It gets your location, gets control. That's the only way you get better in this league. Not lifting weights, pitching.
And that's a great point by Jim, and I thought Joel Sherman had a great point, too, in the post a couple of days back, where, you know, he was making the correlation between everybody thinks they could compare, like, Gibson to Chamberlain, and Gibson threw all these innings, and Koufax threw all these innings. And all these old-time pitchers go out there and they, you know, they could throw as many games and as many innings and as many pitches as they want and be fine with it. But you can't compare that to Jabba now.
Right.
And, I'll be completely honest. I never thought about it in this light. And I think Sherman made a tremendous point. Those pitchers in the, you know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they weren't facing a DH. You know, and shortstops and second basemen, back then
were light hitters.
Were like pitchers.
Yeah, they were light hitters.
Yeah, so once you got to 7, 8, 9, you can, you know, you take a little break, save your energy. These guys like Jabba can't. I mean, from 1 through 9,
you're facing a professional.
You got to make pitches.
Right, you're facing a professional.
And that's a great point. So I got to give Sherman a pop there and a little kudos to him, because what he wrote was pretty much spot on, accurate. And I thought it was a great point. I thought it was pretty much, I had to bring it up today, especially
right.
if we brought up Jabba, because that's the situation that we're dealing with.
And like I said, but that's the luxury, Chris, of having a lead in a division that's 7 games. Now, if they get swept this weekend and the division lead comes back, you know what? Then you might have to force the issue with a Jabba Chamberlain or a CeCe Sabathia in certain situations that you don't normally want to force the issue with. But they have the luxury right now, and if they can extend the lead a little bit more, they have that luxury of doing things like they did with Sabathia.
And don't think the players in that clubhouse don't know that they'll have a luxury if they sweep the Red Sox again, because I can guarantee you they're all saying to each other in there, if we could sweep them again, it's smooth sailing from here on out.
I agree.
And on that note, we are going to wrap up our Yankees talk. And when we come back, football time. Training camp is in full swing. And we'll talk about Brett Favre. We'll talk about Michael Vick. We'll also talk about how sick the New York Football Giants defense looked. It's all coming up next if you keep it right here on the Off the Wall podcast.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee coverage on the web. Insightful blogs, original content, and great video make YesNetwork.com your one-stop source for the 26-time world champions.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
And welcome back to Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com, the podcast version. I'm Chris Sheeran. Joe Oriem is here as well. Joey, say hi.
Yo.
Joe, it's time to talk a little football here on Off the Wall. And
yes.
I heard through the grapevine that you have a fever.
And the only prescription
is more football.
More cowbell.
Yeah, that too. But let's start off. I know we teased Michael Vick and teased Brett Favre. We're going to start with the New York Football Giants and how absolutely ridiculous they look on both sides of the ball. When their starters were in against the Panthers this past Monday night in the first preseason game, I just sat back saying, wow.
They look really tight right now. Very deep on defense. And they didn't have all of their free agent pickups.
Boley, Bernard, and also Canty.
Yeah.
Not there. It didn't look like they missed a beat.
Gruden alluded to the fact that Jay Alfred worked with Ozzie Umunyura, who, Umunyura said in the offseason that this is a guy to watch out for. Their defensive line is stacked. This just looks like a defense to be reckoned with. And on the other side of the ball, you look at what they have in Ahmad Bradshaw. This is finally a running back that's going to get his carries, is going to get an opportunity, and with the combination of Brandon Jacobs punishing defensive lines and then making way for my guy Ahmad Bradshaw to come in and just kind of hit that hole and be that scat back.
And let's not forget about Danny Ware.
Danny Ware is, they have a solid core of running backs.
The more and more I think about it and the more I see this running game develop, I really think that this Giant team is just going to be smash mouth, and they're going to get the ball to the receivers in a lot of short passes, and they're going to let them
Kevin Boss involved too.
Yeah, and they're going to let them do the work after they catch the ball. Now, in true New York fashion, you know, we both sat there and we both said, ooh, Super Bowl contenders after one preseason game. It's easy to do that because of the talent they have on this team, but you have to still think about injuries. And then you listen on the radio and you hear there's other contenders. I mean, the Giants weren't even mentioned when I was listening to the radio. All I hear
Which is crazy because they went 12-4
right,
last year.
And all I hear now is the Eagles.
Now, as for the Eagles, they might have some off-the-field issues, and it might be a PR nightmare for them right now.
Well, and you're alluding to Michael Vick, of course, being signed by the Eagles. Donovan McNabb went out and said he wanted to get this guy, and I know how I feel about it, but I will let you take the floor first on Michael Vick, and we'll see how you feel, and I'll give my 2 cents. But, Joe, how do you feel about Michael Vick getting a second chance?
I know there are a lot of members of the media. I'll give you an example. Evan Roberts on WFAN feels very strongly about not giving this guy a second chance. And I can say with, you know, sincerity that I do believe that this guy deserves a second chance. Now, I know a lot of animal lovers might not like to hear my opinion on it, but the bottom line is this guy paid his debt to society, and it really is the way of this country to, when somebody pays their debt to society, they do deserve a second chance.
And, you know, I'm gonna agree with you, actually. I'm not going to play devil's advocate here, but I don't think there's a reason to play devil's advocate here. And I know, as Joe said, animal lovers might not like to hear that, but just hear me out here for a couple of seconds. And my sticking point here is Dante Stallworth. This guy killed a human being. Okay? Killed a human being while he was under the influence of alcohol. Now you might say, well, the dogs didn't have a choice. They couldn't defend themselves. Explain to me how a guy crossing the street could defend himself against a car. Give me that. I'll be willing to hear any phone calls. You want to give us a call? You want to talk about this next week? We'll talk about it next week. 646-487-3668. Call me up. Debate it with me. All right. So now we go from one quarterback getting a second chance to another quarterback who's on his fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth chance.
The man who loves to come back.
And that's Brett Favre. I mean, breaking news, Michael Jordan's coming out of retirement again. I don't know what you can say about this guy. I gave you the floor on Vic, Joey, so I'll take the floor on Favre first, and I'll give you my take, and then you could just, you know, fire back. But is Brett Favre wrong for waffling back and forth? Absolutely. Should you be fed up with the Brett Favre saga? Absolutely. Could this have been avoided? Absolutely. Well, how, Chris? How could this all have been avoided? Well, I'll tell you how. Ted Thompson, the Packers GM, deserves just as much blame as Brett Favre, and here's why. When the Packers were done with this guy, they forced him into retirement. They wanted to make Aaron Rodgers their next stud quarterback, which is fine. It's all well and good. It's their decision.
Right.
It's their organization.
Right. If
they want to bring in Aaron Rodgers, guess what? Brett, you could be mad, you could be upset, but if they want to move on, they can move on. Here's where they were wrong. You can't force the guy into retirement. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to walk away. That first retirement was bupkis, as were the other ones, but the first one was tremendous bupkis because Favre wasn't ready. Proof? He ended up with the Jets. Okay, and I think the Jets used Favre and Favre used the Jets. Favre used the Jets to prove that, hey, I could still play and I'm still a commodity in this league, which he did until the last 5 weeks of the season. And the Jets said, we got Brett Favre. We have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they did.
Right.
They were 8-2, 8-3 going down the stretch. Didn't work out. But Ted Thompson is just as at fault as Brett Favre. Favre wanted to go to the Vikings. If Thompson wanted to move on and go with Aaron Rodgers, why not cut ties with Brett Favre? Let him go wherever he wants to go. Rodgers is your new guy. Let Favre finish out with the Vikings. And if he beats you, hey, you got egg on your face. You want it to move forward. Favre's fault.
Here's my thought on that, though. You think about what Ted Thompson was trying to do. I can understand his situation where he doesn't want to let him go to a division rival. I can completely understand that.
Then let him be your quarterback.
But my whole thing is, Aaron Rodgers, if they didn't sign him to that contract, was going to walk away. So you're going to leave a Brett Favre there who's got 1, maybe 2 years left in him, or you're going to go with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers kind of forced their hand because they drafted him. He knew he had the upper hand on them and said, listen, if you don't sign me this year to a contract extension and make me your starting quarterback, which you planned on making me the quarterback of the future, I'm walking. And they couldn't, Ted Thompson couldn't let him just walk. He needed to make him the starting quarterback.
That's fine. Ted Thompson made his bed, then he had to sleep in it. If he chose Aaron Rodgers, fine. He's your starting quarterback. He's your guy of the future. Let Favre go.
Again, though, Brett Favre, he of course he wanted to play. And then when when he was, you know, coming out of retirement the first time, and he did come back, Ted Thompson told him, you know, we still hold the rights to you. The only place we're going to let you go is New York. You can't go to the Vikings. I can understand that. I can completely understand that as a GM. That's like saying, you know, the Yankees have the rights to somebody and they're going to let him go to the Red Sox.
That's just as much as waffling as Favre did. I'm sorry.
They're both at fault.
I understand your point.
They're both at fault.
I understand your point, but they are both at
fault. They're both at fault.
And you know what? I might be in the minority here, but I'm rooting for Favre.
And you know what? I am on the other side. I cannot stand this man. I couldn't stand him when he was a Packers quarterback. I think he's the most overrated quarterback this game has ever seen. He hasn't won a big game since January of 1997. And this guy, all he does is he chucks it and he prays that it goes to his receiver.
He has three MVP trophies.
He has three MVP. I understand that. In the mid-90s. It's now late 2000s. Let's get over it. This guy got out-dueled by Eli Manning in the NFC Championship game in his own building. Got out-dueled by Michael Vick in Lambeau Field. He is overrated.
He's
overrated, and I don't know why the media continues to cover this guy the way they cover him. It's like the second coming of Jesus with this guy.
Well, I think Ted Thompson, I can't argue with anything you said. I mean, you make tremendous points. You do. And I could sit here and battle you.
I don't know if you know, but Brett Favre is going to be pitching in this weekend Yankees-Red Sox series. Let's cover that.
Well, listen, I know there's a lot of people out there who feel like you, but I'd like to see Favre win two games this year. Two. Both against the Green Bay Packers. Because, listen, he says it had nothing to do with revenge. That's baloney. If it didn't have anything to do with revenge, Favre would still be a member of the New York Jets. I'm sorry, Brett. You could sit up there and say it till you're blue in the face. You want to play for Minnesota because you want to stick it so far up, you know what, on the Packers. Mm-hmm. You want to have them taste it.
Well.
And for the reason I gave earlier about Ted Thompson, I hope he does it. I hope he does it twice.
I don't like the fact that this guy keeps retiring, coming back. Then they make a big hoopla about it in early August when training camp's starting, that this guy, I'm retiring, I'm never coming back. And then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, because he wanted to miss training camp, and when he wasn't in the spotlight anymore because Michael Vick took the spotlight, let's get Brett Favre back in the spotlight. He's an egomaniacal jerk.
You heard it here first. Joe Auriemma, both guns a-blazing.
Sorry, Chris.
It's all right. What it's for. This is to vent. This is to get people, you know, fired up. And if we had some phone calls, we wouldn't have to, you know, empty both barrels on Brett Favre right now. But I really think this is about revenge. I really think Favre's, you know, what you just said rings home true. He wanted to be back in the center of attention. Michael Vick came back and he took everything over. I think that has something to do with it. And he could stand up there and say his daughter wanted him to go to one more Super Bowl. And, he just wanted to play with the Vikings. It's not only a one-year deal, it's a two-year deal, by the way. This is a guy who was done with football a couple months ago, or maybe a month ago, and now he's going to play for two more years. And I said it when I first started talking about him. Is he wrong for waffling? Yes. Should you be fed up and sick of him? Absolutely. But, as Ricardo Montalban said in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Kirk, revenge is a dish best served cold. Ted Thompson, watch out.
I'll just say one more thing, Chris. I feel bad for Sage Rosenfeld. That's all I'm going to say.
What about Tavares Jackson? He's getting traded.
I know. Sage came here as a free agent.
They're paying $3 million.
Expecting him to be in a quarterback controversy and fight for that job.
$3 million.
That's all I'm saying.
$3 million backup, Sage Rosenfels. Hello. All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap things up for this edition of Off the Wall, the podcast version here on YesNetwork.com. For the very fiery and animated Joe Auriemma this week, I am Chris Sheeran saying we will see you next week for a week 5 when I can guarantee you. The New York Yankees will once again be atop of the American League. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Later.
Log on to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankees coverage on the web. And come back every Wednesday for a new edition of Off the Wall with Chris Shear.